Today our scripture comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. We give thanks for the reading of God's word. And I want to add my welcome to everybody here today. It is good to see you all here. I'm very humbled by Carla Murray's children's message today. And we're grateful for that. But also, I'm reminded that a coach is only as good as the team players, which are all of you, and especially people like our worship band. They did an awesome job this morning. We're so grateful for them. Their faithfulness to lead us in good and awesome quality worship every Sunday. We're so appreciative of that. And there's so many other people in the back. Appreciate you guys. They're not in the balcony, but you're in the back. We thank you, too. In the balcony of the other service. But anyway, thankful for everybody here. And as we have heard God's reading of His Word, let us now seek its meaning for our life. And let's ask God's Holy Spirit to lead us in that process. Will you pray with me for a moment? Come, Holy Spirit. Open our minds, our ears, our eyes, our very souls to the power of Your transforming Word that can help us to see life as You created it to be, can help us to know Your will, can help us to be reborn, made new this very day. So come, Holy Spirit. I pray that You would enable me to proclaim Your word in a way that glorifies You, God, and You alone, and that draws us all into a closer relationship with You along this journey. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to begin by asking you to use your imaginations a little. I know that may be challenging. It's still early in the day. Maybe your minds aren't fully engaged yet. You slept a little over or hadn't had all your coffee that you want. But play along with me this morning. I want you to use your imaginations and imagine that you're in prison. I know that's not a very pleasant thought. I don't think anybody here's been there. But just imagine that you've been in prison. And you've been there for a long time. In fact, you're scheduled to be there for a great while longer. And one day, the warden invites you to come to his office. You get to his office, he tells you, I have an offer to make. You can get out of prison today. There's a catch. It's for one day only. Just one day, and you got to come back. Are you interested? Well, of course. Of course you'd be interested. I mean, who wouldn't jump at the chance to leave behind the prison walls and go have a day of freedom, even if it is for a 24-hour period? I can't imagine any prisoner turning down that deal, especially if you've been in there for a long term time. This sounds like a great offer. And so you abandon your striped clothing, your orange jumpsuit or whatever it is, and you change that for a tie and a suit or a nice dress, and you walk out of the prison gates, you step into freedom for a day. Can you imagine what that freedom would feel like? Can you imagine how good that day would be? Not to have to eat the prison chow. Not having to follow the prison rules. Not having to be confined by the cells and the walls and the bars and the shackles, whatever it is. Can you imagine how wonderful that day of freedom would be? Well, now imagine this. After your day of freedom, you come back to the prison like you're supposed to. And the warden calls you back into his office. He says, I have an offer for you. You can be out of prison today, but again, it's just for one day only. Are you interested? So he's making the same offer again. The same rules, the same chance for having a day of freedom. And he's asking you, are you interested in taking it, taking that offer? Again, of course you are. Who wouldn't? So you leave your shackles, you leave the bars and the walls behind, and you go experience another day of blessed freedom. And then the next day when you return, the warden again calls you into his office. He says, I have an offer for you. He makes the same offer again. Now, technically, it's just a day, just a 24-hour period of freedom. But you're not about to pass this opportunity up. I mean, you don't know how many more days he's going to make this offer, right? And so you take advantage of every single opportunity you have. What a day of freedom. You know, there are a lot of people in this world around us. And there may be some of you who are here today or some of you who are watching online who can say, I can identify with that. I can relate to that story. Because even though I'm not perhaps in that kind of prison cell, I do understand what it feels like to be in bondage. I know what it feels like to be enslaved to sin, to be enslaved to your past, to some kind of addiction or guilt. And what I would give for just one day of freedom. Today we're in the third week of a series of sermons we're calling Finding Freedom. Where we're talking about the process of breaking free from the things that bind us in this life and keep us from experiencing life as God created us to live. And in week one, we saw that the first step in this process of freedom is to fundamentally have a change of perspective on your situation in life. That is, your situation may feel hopeless. It may feel like it's never going to end. It's always going to be this way. But it's not, and it's not hopeless. You may feel as though there's no way out. But there is, because God is at work in your life to set you free. I mean, this is what Jesus promised us in his very first sermon. I have come to set the captives free. So dare to hope again. Freedom awaits. And then in week two, we saw that the second step of this process, of particularly when it comes to breaking free of emotional bondage, is that you don't wait until you feel good in order to do good. You do good now, today. And you can start taking care of yourself physically today. You can start reaching out to other people, taking your eyes off of yourself and focusing on the needs of others with a servant heart. You can constantly seek the presence of God, getting to know Him and drawing closer to Him every day. Regardless of how you feel, you choose to do these things. And when you do these good things, you feel good and life becomes good again. That's how it works. Today, we're going to be talking about the third step of breaking free from the things that bind us in life. And that is, just like this prisoner in our illustration, a story we just talked about, was given the freedom of 24 hours at a time each day, and he was determined to make the most of each day he had of freedom, we too need to try to make the most of every single day. We need to learn to make the most of every single day. In order to experience freedom every day, in order to live a victorious life in Christ, we must understand one fundamental truth. And that is that success is only for one day. Freedom lasts only for one day. Victory is only for one day. Then tomorrow you have to get up and do it all over again. The life of liberty in Christ is to be lived out one day at a time. As Jesus says, that's all we have. One day at a time. In our text for this morning from the book of Psalms, King David makes this his prayer. He says, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The Living Translation of the Bible paraphrases it in this way. It says, teach us to number our days and recognize how few of them they are. Help us to spend them as we should. In other words, David is saying that we need to understand that there are just only so many days that we have here on this earth. So we need to try to make the most of them. We need to have the wisdom to make the right choices to make our days count. I think we've all been tempted at times to say, someday I'll whatever. You know, someday I'll do better at this. Someday I'll get more organized. Someday I'll get serious about my Christian discipleship. Someday I will get serious about my health. Someday I will get serious about spending more quality time with my family. Someday I will get better at doing whatever. But the warden in our illustration, he would say, what about today? I'm giving you today. What about today? How will you make the most of it? Listen, every day of our lives we are given the same gift from God, 1,440 minutes. I don't care who you are, rich or poor, or mighty or lowly, we're all given the same amount of time every day, 1,440 minutes. The question, of course, is, what are you going to do with your 1,440 minutes each day? I think it's a good exercise for all of us to do, is spend some time really thinking about that. Thinking about what is important enough to be included in those 1,440 minutes every day. What really matters the most to you? Is it time alone with God every day? Is it, you know, meal times with your family or spending quality time with your family? Is it a little exercise every day? That's important for you. Is it doing a little reading every day? Is it a sufficient amount of sleep every day? What is important enough for you to do every day of your life? What matters the most? I mean, the FDA, they give us the minimal nutritional daily requirements that we're supposed to follow in order to live a healthy life. I mean, you're supposed to have so much, or at least so much of each of the food groups, right? Well, what things make up your minimum daily list of requirements? What are the things you consider to be top priority in your life? What are the things that you will do no matter what because they're that important? You're going to do it whether it's a good day or it's a bad day. Whether it's a slow day or a busy day, you're going to do these things. Whether your boss is in a bad mood or your spouse is in a bad mood or you're in a bad mood, you're going to do these things every day because they're that important. Again, what is your daily list of required priorities? I can't make that list for you. That's something you have to do for yourself. And you know what's most important in your life. So the homework I want to give you today is to take some time this week thinking about that. Assessing your life. What is the most important thing? And then make those things a part of your daily life from now on. If it helps, just think of that analogy of the warden giving you a daily reprieve. How will you make the most of that day? You see, it is the things that we do consistently, day in and day out, that determine whether our life is going to be defined by liberty and freedom or by captivity. So I'm challenging you to make a list of those things that can help move you on the path of experiencing more freedom in your life. Now, in order to make the most of each and every day and experience the things, experience freedom from the things that bind us in life, I think there are three principles that we need to really understand their significance. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. These three principles can help you to develop a habit, a daily habit of living each day to the fullest and experiencing the life that God created us for, being set free from whatever's holding you back. And the first of those I want to talk to you about is recognizing the significance of one. Recognizing the significance of one. Because the truth is, everything in life is really about one. It's all about one. It's made up of ones. If you have $1 million, you have $1 million because you have $1 million bills, right? Everything in life is made up of ones. Here's the problem, though. When we have an abundance of certain things in life, we tend to lose sight of their value. We fall victim to the "there's plenty more where that came from" way of thinking, don't we? And we lose sight of their value. And so we're not as careful with each one that we have in life, whether it be a day or other things. I once heard of a business owner talking about how to best cut corners when it comes to running an office, how to cut the cost. And one of his suggestions was to avoid keeping an abundance of office supplies available for the employees. He said that when employees think that there's a surplus, when there's an overabundance of things like paper and pen and pencils and, you know, whatever, all just scotch tape and all those kind of things, then they'll tend to be more wasteful. But when they go to the storage cabinet and they find there's only one or two of those things, the scarcity of those things will motivate them to waste less. Makes sense? I don't know what it'd be like working for that guy, but the truth is, we really don't appreciate what we have until we start running out of it, right? mean, we all learned that during this pandemic, didn't we? The scarcity of toilet paper and Clorox wipes. I mean, we learned that principle. Now, when it comes to the Christian life, I'm not trying to say that the Christian life is about scarcity. It's just the opposite. It's about abundance. It's about the abundance of the things that matter the most, such as grace and love and peace and joy and blessings and forgiveness. There's abundance of all of those things that matter the most when it comes to the Christian life. But there is one area of life that is defined by scarcity, and that is the number of days that we have here on this earth to live. I mean, it's quite a few of them if you really think about it. Even if you live to a ripe old age, it's still a small number. And for this reason, we need to recognize the significance, the value of each and every day, every moment, every one that we have. What we're really talking about here is the principle of appreciation. It is understanding the value of what we have in life. And that really should be our attitude toward every single day, that each day matters. I mean, as Christians, we know there is no such thing as a throwaway day in life, because every day has eternal significance. Every day matters. So every time you catch yourself saying someday or one day I'll get around to that, stop yourself and you'll probably hear the Holy Spirit saying to you, what about today? Why not today? Because every time you say someday or one day I'll get around to that, you're really extending your captivity. It's like the warden who is offering you a day of freedom. And your response is, today, why don't we wait till the end of the next week? Or wait after the holidays, I'll take that offer, or whatever, you know. It's kind of crazy. And the Holy Spirit says, why not today? I've given you the gift of today. What are you going to do with it? In his second letter to Corinthians, Paul wrote these words. He said, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And when I first read that, I used to translate this and think that its meaning was really focused on the fact of trying to tell us today is the day that you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today can be the day of your salvation. And certainly that's true. And if you've not made that decision, then there's no better time. There's no need to put it off than today. But Paul is talking about more than just accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, as important as that is. He's talking here about living the fullness of the Christian life right now, today. He's talking about living with the awareness, the value of your salvation every day of your life, today. So if you want to break free from the things that are binding in your life, you want to experience freedom on a daily basis, then embrace this principle of appreciation. Recognize the significance of one in your life. The value, the importance of each and every day that we have. And here's the second thing I think we need to recognize, and that is the principle of repetition. Repetition. When it comes to Christian life, there is nothing about the Christian life that makes it a one and done kind of experience. I mean, if something is worth doing in the Christian life once, it is worth doing again and again, perhaps. Now, to be clear, I'm not talking about when it comes to that decision of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's a one and done kind of experience. I mean, you ask Him into your heart, you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, and you are born again to a living hope. But not even that's a one and done kind of experience, because that's just the beginning of your Christian life. In your journey with Christ. From that point on, you strive every day to become more like Christ, to grow in your relationship with Christ. And you do that until the day that you die. So that's an ongoing process. What I'm talking about here, as it pertains to breaking free from things that bind us in life, is the habit of repeating that which matters the most every day, over and over again. Now, every once in a while, you hear of somebody lucky enough to write a hit song. And that hit song will sustain them for the rest of their lives financially. You remember the song Walking on Sunshine? Remember that song? Walking on Sunshine. Da-da-da. It's a catchy little tune. It was written back in the 80s, performed by Krachina and the Waves. You've heard it on countless commercials. You've heard it on countless movies. But did you know that that's the only hit song they ever wrote? That was the only hit song that ever made it anything for them. Only song, period, that made anything for them. And yet, the songwriter, he's making hundreds of thousands of dollars every year in the royalties off of that. He's kind of set for life. No doubt you'll soon be hearing this other song that's going to be on the screen, Monster Mash. You'll be hearing that on the airwaves and during this Halloween season a lot. It was written by Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers in 1962. And again, it was the only hit song they had, the only song that really made anything for them. Of course, kind of set them for life. They're still taking royalties off of that. It's kind of fascinating how one hit song is sometimes all it takes to build a career. And there are other scenarios in life where that's true. But in Christianity, in the Christian life, there's no such thing as a one-hit wonder. You can't just coast on decades on the strength of something good you did one day in the past. This is why you need to recognize the significance of the principle of repetition. Victorious living is the secret, the result of repetition. Doing the right thing over and over again. That's the secret to victorious living. In the book of Revelation, when Jesus spoke to the church at Ephesus, he said, "Consider how far you have fallen. Repent. And do the things you did at first." Here again, he's talking about that principle of repetition. Do the things you did at first. Do the things that really matter the most. Again and again and again. If you want to break free from the things that are binding you in life, if you want to experience freedom every day of your life, then nail down those things that you consider to be the most important in your life, worth doing, that really matter the most. And then apply that principle of repetition to them. That is, you do those things that matter the most over and over again, day in and day out. Don't just have a morning devotional once. Do it again tomorrow. And again the next day. Don't just eat healthily once. Do it again tomorrow. And do it again the next day. Don't just spend quality time with your family once. Do it again tomorrow, and do it again the next day. Recognize the importance of repetition when it comes to living a life that God called us to, doing that which matters the most again and again. Which I think leads us to this third thing that we need to recognize, and that is the principle of momentum. Momentum. Bible teacher Steve Brown refers to this as the principle of the greased tracks. He says that moving in one direction long enough, if you keep doing that, you're going to gain speed and you're going to get faster and faster and faster. I think all of us have experienced that when it comes to certain matters in life, that, you know, doing something the third time is a whole lot easier than doing it the first time. Have you ever experienced that? I mean, for instance, have you ever tried fasting? Or maybe you tried giving up something that you've been accustomed to doing for a long period of time. And none of those things are easy. But I don't know about you, but the hardest part of that is the first day for me. The first day is the hardest because the first day, it just seems like it's going to last forever. If you're fasting, it seems like, you know, you're just dying of starvation the whole first day. And if you're trying to quit doing something that you've been doing for a long time, that something that you're trying to quit just occupies your mind. It obsesses you. You can't think of anything but that all day long. The second day, it's a little bit easier. Third day, it's a piece of cake. Pardon the pun. But what's happening here? You're building momentum. You're greasing the tracks. And every day that you spend doing what matters the most in your life, that motivates you to do it again and again. And it is in the momentum. It's in the momentum of living one good day at a time that we begin to experience victorious living. This is why King Solomon said, "The soul of the diligent is richly supplied." Diligence is just another word for consistency. And consistency and repetition is what builds momentum. So if you want to experience freedom on a daily basis, if you want to be set free from those things that are holding you back and binding you in life, we have to recognize the significance of one, the principle of appreciation, of valuing each and every day, every moment, every one that we have. we have to put into practice that principle of repetition. That is, recognizing the value of doing what matters most in life over and over again, so they become a way of life. And we need to recognize the principle of momentum, recognizing the value of consistent living. Consistent living. What does all that boil down to? It just boils down to how you choose to live your life every day. Most specifically, this day. For what you do today matters. Because again, success only lasts for a day. Freedom only lasts for one day. Victory only lasts for one day. Tomorrow we have to get up and do it all over again. So whenever you're ready, you can live a life of freedom today. There's nothing stopping you from making the most of today. And again, this is not a tough-minded warden who's making this offer to you. This is your loving Heavenly Father who is saying to you, in essence, I have given you the gift of today. I have given you those 1,440 minutes, and you can live this day in freedom, doing what really matters, living the life I created you for. So quit thinking about what you don't have, or why you can't do this, or whatever that. Instead, choose to walk through those prison gates and live today in the freedom that God gives you, doing the things that matter the most. As Solomon prayed, teach us, O Lord, to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom and experience the life God created us to live. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, you gave us the air that we breathe. You gave us life and all that's in it. And so often, Lord, we focus on other things that deprive us of joy, and we focus on things that would cause us to just live in despair. And yet you've shown us the way and the truth, the way to have life. Help us, God, to follow your call in our life, to seek to make the most of every day, doing your will, doing the things that really matter. And be empowered by the Holy Spirit, God, every day as we seek to draw close to you. Lord, we offer our lives to you. We offer you the course of our life. But most of all, Lord, help us to offer you today. Today. Thank you for today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.